Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can meet. We thank you for your living word. And Lord, we thank you for blessing us so much with your word. And on these Saturday mornings, as we look at the Psalms and then go to prayer, Lord, it's just an opportunity. So thank you, Lord. Bless these moments, Lord, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you who, like me, have gray hair, this is a favorite psalm, I think. It's called The Prayer of the Aged Believer. And it was written, we believe, in the Septuagint, is attributed to David, Prayer of David. And we believe that he wrote this at the time that his son, Adonijah, was rebelling against him, trying to take the kingship even before he died. And, you know, David had promised to Bathsheba that Solomon would be king. And here David is weakened, and as he's dying on his bed, Adonijah began this power struggle and was going to take the throne by force, basically, even before David was dead. And so then Bathsheba came to David saying, did you not promise that Solomon shall reign? And David said, yes. And she said, well, this is a conspiracy going on. Your son Adonijah is claiming that he's a king. And so you better do something. So he called Solomon in, and he called the judges in, and declared his intention that Solomon should be the heir to the throne. And so some think this psalm was written at that time. David is old, his strength is gone. There's rebellion going on again, much like similar to what the rebellion was some years earlier with his other son Absalom had rebelled against him and tried to drive him from the kingdom. So we have these 24 verses here, and this is just a great psalm, I think. And verse 3 says, be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. So when I see a psalm for it speaks of age, and it speaks of the rock, of course, the rock of ages comes to mind. And so let's begin now by just singing this song, Rock of Ages, by Augustus Taplady, written about 300 plus years ago. And still, it's just so perfect. You know, it says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. I think that's such a great term there. Not standing on it, not on the rock, but in the rock. And let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. And of course, he goes on to say, save from wrath. And then secondly, make me pure. So just think what the blood of Jesus has done. It saved us from the wrath that we have coming because of our sin. And he took that sin for us and died paying in our place. The wrath was satisfied. And then he makes us pure with the justification by faith, that he pays for our sin and then forgives us and then wipes our slate clean. And so we're pure, and the Father sees us pure in the righteous robes of Jesus, his Son. And so we have this great song. Let us sing Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure.
Could my tears forever flow? Could my tears no longer show? These for sin would not
and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Let me hide myself in thee.
So Psalm 71, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Wow. Is that true of me? Is that true of you? Are we really putting our trust in Him? And is that our prayer? Let us never be put to shame. And then deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. So we see these beautiful words here in the third verse, refuge, strong rock, or the rock and the fortress. And he says that I may resort continually into that strong refuge. Are you resorting continually in the Lord and the power of his might? We see David saying that here is such a beautiful thing. Verse 4, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for you are my hope, O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth. So here we see now David is in trouble because they're trying to kill him, and we know that this was under the hand of Adonijah probably at this point, might have been other times, and earlier we know how Saul and his army were trying to kill him. So he has experienced this in his lifetime, and he's asking here, praying, deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the unrighteousness and cruel man. For you are my hope. You are my hope. Is that what I really believe with my whole heart continually, that he is my hope, O Lord God? And now notice this, you are my trust from my youth. By you I've been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall continually be of you. And so we see here how wonderful it is to have a season of our life behind us at the point in time we get older, like now, because we can look back and see the faithfulness of God so vividly and so clearly over many years in some cases. And here David goes all the way back to his youth, and giving God the glory when he took him out of his mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. And then verse 7, I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. There's that term again, protection, refuge. And then he says, verse 8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Wow. What an encouragement and what an exhortation that is for you and for me, that our mouths would be filled with his praise and with his glory all the day. May that be. Amen. And then verse 9 speaks of his old age. He says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. So we see here a hint, basically, of the vulnerability in old age, that we no longer are strong enough to fight our battles. We see in this case David is on his deathbed, so he can't even get out of bed. And people always trying to take advantage of old people when they can't fight back like they could when they were stronger. And so here is what those around him are saying. God has forsaken him, meaning he's going to die soon. Pursue and take him, for there's none to deliver him. So there's nothing to stop us from taking what's David now, because he's too weak to do anything about it. But David's crying out, verses 12 and 13, O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Oh, what a prayer that is. Are you praying that prayer, particularly in times when We need it. Do not, and it's all the time. Do not be far from me. May God make haste to help me. Let them, the enemy, be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. Verse 14, this verse 14 on down through, well, the rest of the verses are so awesome, but verse 14, but I will hope continually. Is that true of you? Is that true of me? Are we hoping in him without pause continually? And will praise you yet more and more. Is that the commitment of you? And are you doing that? Are we praising him more and more as we get older and older, so to speak? My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. Are you available all the day for that? That your mouth shall tell of his righteousness and his salvation all the day? For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Wow. So here we see all day to tell, to praise him, to tell of his righteousness and his salvation. And he doesn't know their limits, but he will go in the strength. He doesn't know how strong they are, but he'll go in the strength of the Lord God. Think of him conquering Goliath. You know, Goliath, a huge giant, but yet David went in the strength and power of the Lord and as a boy slew this giant. And he says here, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Now, is that true of my mouth? Is what's coming out of my mouth ever tinged by speaking of my righteousness? Not through him, but just my righteousness. No way. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. He will share his glory with none other. We know that's what we read in the scriptures and other places. Verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth. Again, hearkening back to years in the past. You have taught me from my youth, and to this day, what? I declare your wondrous works. Now, again, is that true in our lives? Are we declaring his wondrous works to this day? Or have we gotten old and slowed down and stopped? Now, verse 18 is kind of my life verse in a way, since I'm old. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Wow. Again. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. That's our ministry, is it not? And until he's done with his ministry, I believe we're invincible. We're here. We aren't leaving until he takes us out of here. And when we are done with what he wants us to do, when that is finished, we will be taken out no matter what. Verse 19, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things. And we're going to close in a little later this morning with closing with this prayer, with this song, Great Things. But you have done great things, and your righteousness, O God, is very high. O God, who is like you? Oh, how great a question that is. And obviously the answer is nobody, none. Verse 20, you who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again. Here's the revival prayer to wake us up, the older people. Revive us again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Verse 22, also with the lute I will praise you. Here's the musician David coming out. With the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with a harp. And we know what a harpist he was. To you I will sing with my harp, with the harp. O Holy One of Israel. Are you singing to the Holy One of Israel? You know, as I like to, when I'm driving with the windows rolled up all by myself, I like to just sing to the Lord. And my voice isn't the greatest, but I can make a joyful noise. and sing to him, and no noise pollution outside. I can just make all the racket I want inside, it seems like, and singing to him. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. There it is again. All the day long my tongue shall talk of your righteousness. Is that happening? Well, may it happen. May it happen today. May it happen every day for us. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. So a powerful little prayer here, actually 24 verses, it's a significant prayer, isn't it? And it really is speaking about the commitment to the Lord all the days of our lives, right? Well, we have the opportunity this morning to once again redeem this time together in our little family here. So may we spend these next 30, 40 minutes of praying as he would lead us to pray, as the Spirit would lead us to pray. And so let's pray in one accord in that regard. Lead us now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Help us to have that spirit of thanksgiving and prayer this whole day, Lord. And we just praise you for all things. Help us now as we just close out here and just want to share this one song. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. Verse 19 and today's psalm. And your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things. O God, who is like you? So let us sing along here as we close this out, if you would please.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Prepare us for this week, really, of Thanksgiving week, and every day to be Thanksgiving. So guide us as we go our separate ways, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One just last thought. I think one of the last things Jesus said to us right before ascension, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And the thing that strikes me to be especially thankful for are two things. One, that we as believers have been blessed with more evidence and more knowledge than any believer ever before in history. The Messiah has come. The Spirit has been poured out. The complete Word of God has been made available. That's one Thanksgiving. The other Thanksgiving is that we've never been in a situation, or I don't know that how we could be in a situation that's easier to witness than it is today. Think of the darkness that's out there. What can drive away darkness? Jesus Christ. You don't have to run all over the world to find somebody who doesn't know the Lord. I mean, go out to Costa Mesa, go to Santa Ana, go anywhere. And then I was even thinking of abortion. You know, abortion forcefully ends a life. And we're all against that, particularly for babies which are defenseless. But all the babes and spiritual babes out there, we can contribute to their lives being ended if we keep quiet, if we don't tell them. But if we share the good news with them, that's what we're to do. We can't save them, but we're to share the good news, right? So may we be as bold as the Spirit would lead us in every opportunity that He has for us, because He'll give us all kinds of opportunities every day, doesn't He? So may we not miss it. So thank you for being here. Thank you for praying. Thank you for sharing. And good to be with the family. Happy Thanksgiving to you every day.